Hami Media Group continues to grow to new heights because of our loyal fan base and incredible sponsors. You followed us on our affiliate Hami Media Group channels for all of our awesome shows, including South Park Reviews, NFO Star Wars and the Academy Star Trek Reviews, The Horror Junkyard, and all of our affiliate programming. We will continue to bring you the best in wrestling, conspiracy, and alternative media. Thank you for supporting our sponsors, subscriptions, sending bits, and promotion of the Hameen Media Group platform. Add both Hacker Hameen and Hameen Media Group on your iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube feeds. Thank you to the following sponsors. Zordos Olive Oil. Zordos Olive Oil is the finest artisan Greek olive oil on the market today. It's also the perfect holiday gift. You can make your family's favorite holiday recipe, and they'll say it's the best thing they've eaten all year. It's imported. It's ultra-premium Greek olive oil, and it's available now at ZordosOliveOil.com. Again, that's ZordosOliveOil.com. Zordos Olive Oil. Taste the difference for yourself. The Coffee Roasters at TheBroasters.com. A new 5-pound bag of Vince Russo Bro coffee is here. Stock up before the next lockdown, bro. TheBroasters.com is the only place to get the limited edition Vince Russo Bro coffee. Get up and have a cup of bro, bro. Exclusively from TheBroasters.com and RussoBrand.com. Use the official promo code BRO5LB when you place your order, and you'll save some money, bro. At Hameen Media Group, we're all about self-improvement. Improve your mind and body with Stevie Richards Fitness. Head over to StevieRichardsFitness.com and take control of your fitness with Stevie's resistance band programs. These programs have been set up for every level of fitness. You can also try the brand new Stevie Richards Yoga Program to make sure your flexibility and balance improve so you can feel your best. Visit StevieRichardsFitness.com today and build a better you. ProWrestlingTees.com, the best way to support your favorite independent wrestlers, podcasts, and hosts from the Hami Media Group and Russo brand is to get their official merchandise exclusively at ProWrestlingTees.com. Support all of the great Hami Media Group talent by visiting their Pro Wrestling Tees stores, such as the Greek God Papadon, BWO Stevie Richards, Big Sal under SEG Shirts, Chris Silvio, the superstar himself, and of course, Bin Hameen, your law. Hey, Infidel. You want to become an official HMG operative? Well, now's your chance. Just follow us on Twitter at Hameen Media Group, shoot us a request, and we'll send you the invite link so you can join the brand new private Discord server under Hameen Media Group. You can also join us on Facebook in the Hameen Media Discussion Group and interact with the entire HMG Army. Play along in the Pick'em Challenges, hang out in the watch-along threads, and interact with the HMG hosts. You can also check out all of HMG's Conspiracy Horseman propaganda on our Instagram by following us at Hameen Media Group. Like, follow, and share, or be destroyed! Once again, thank you to all of our sponsors, subscribers, followers, guests, producers, and hosts of Hameen Media Group. 2.2 million downloads for Hameen Media Group is all because of your efforts and support. Now, let's get to the main event.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
The following announcement has been paid for by Bin Hameen and Hameen Media.
Leads to the dark side.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls, Jedi, Sith, Mandalorians, Twi'leks, and younglings that survived Order 66 to another exciting, action-packed, fully stacked, totally jacked edition of the new Force Order
for life
podcast. We're Star Wars podcast. If you haven't figured that one out by now, there's no hope for you, sunshine. And you know what they say about hope, right there, Doc?
Rebellions, we're building hope.
Exactly. Another week has passed. Another week has come. But before we get deep, 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 balls deep into the news, allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho!
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho! Ho! H to the O-V. I used to move snowflakes by the O-Z.
H to the O-V. No, I'm kidding. My name is the Greek god Papadon. I am a pro wrestler. I am a multi-time champion in a galaxy far, far away, current heavyweight champion, three different promotions at the same time. Still the longest reigning dynasty tag team champion with my conspiracy horseman brother Bin Hamin. I think it's been 911 days we've been champions.
Jesus Christ almighty. Well, they closed that promotion.
They haven't run the show in forever.
I love that. Mike Vern is still currently like the longest running Fighting Spirit wrestling champion. I think he's like 3,000 days. And
exactly. Listen, the last time we...
My champion, Verna.
I'm making my champion. The last time we defended those belts is the last time Demetrius Zordos and John Enright got laid from the academy, because you know those Trekkies, they don't know how to have any game with the women. They're too busy putting their phasers on stun. Anyway, let's get back on track. Pick it up, back on the scene, crispy and clean. It's your boy, GGP, you know what I mean? Greek God Papadon.
To the Greek God.
Alongside with me... What?
Bars.
That's right. I'm dropping a bunch of Hershey's tonight. And speaking about Hershey Highways, I'm sorry. Sith Force ghosts in the room. Allow me to introduce, you know him as the Kathleen Kennedy of the NFO. We like to call him the Butcher. But I can't do it any justice. So it's still canon to me, damn it. Who are you, sir? Introduce yourself.
And I am the Dark Lord of the podcast, the Sith Ari, the Rampaging Reverend Kiss, the Butcher, but most importantly, Darth Spiridon.
And last but not least, the man with the freshest beard on the podcast today. He looks so fresh and so clean with his Chuck Liddell mohawk. And he's shaking his arm because he's doing something with his toys. He's painting, he's sodding, he's creating masterpiece, the Picasso of Mattel.
Podcast and Picasso.
The podcast Picasso. That's right. Off the top of the dome, we're coming up with monikers. That's right. Not Lewinsky's, because we don't save the dresses.
But we still blow that load.
Oh, absolutely. All over the face, neck, and chest. He is your medical droid with the kung fu grip. But he also likes to steal your girl. But even more, he loves to steal your thunder. Introduce yourself, sir.
I am smarter than 2-1-B, more technical than FX7, the god of steel and thunder, and the man who makes the ladies more moist than the folds between Jabba the Hutt's skin, Dr. Destroyo, Alex Roy.
Oh, man. I just got a very bad picture of Alvin Alvarez coming out of the shower. Thanks a lot, Doc.
Sorry.
Anyway, do you think Bib Fortuna has to scrub those moist folds? And if so, how would he approach that scenario, Doc?
It's time for the bath time. I get the brush, I scrub it down.
And then you have Salacious Crumb going.
My fib sounds more and more Asian as time goes on. I don't know why. It's just
maybe he's part of the Trade Federation. Who knows?
Oh, that's terrible.
Nah, isn't it? But listen,
Recon that shit.
Fucking wraps the cross.
A cross? It's red eye.
I got a fresh. What the fuck's a fresh? Anyway, another week has come. Another week has passed. People are still clamoring, still applauding the latest episode of Mandalorian, The Siege, which was directed by Carl Weathers. We spoke about it on our analysis show called Mandomania. And if you don't, know what we're talking about, how dare you?
How dare you?
You need to go back to the archives, not the Jedi archives, not the Holocron archives and the Lego Star Wars series, but the NFO archives, and check out the latest episode of Mandomania, because it's running wild. Doc and I break down everything logistically. We make our analysis, and we came to a good conclusion emotionally, spiritually, grammatically, you name it. We uncovered it. And we basically broke it down like an organic compound.
Oh, shit.
Makes the world go round.
Broke it down like the Generation X.
Break it down. One of the best songs. Not the best, but one of the best. But listen. All right. Now it's time to move on to something new and better.
I did that already.
That's speculation. So a lot of people are speculating the last episode, the last shot. And now who shot first, Greedo or Han? We know that. But the last shot of the episode where we see our boy Moff Gideon hanging back in the cut with all those mechanical anomalies in the background. Doc, do you want to take this?
I do. So we you know, we touched upon this upon the Mando show last week. We do a Mando show every week called Mandomania. It's a fabulous show. You'll find it on the secondary Hameen Media Group and also the
Spotify,
the NFO main channel. It's all there, baby. So I think we hit the nail on the head when we were looking at it. You know, I was talking about the fact that the armor was very reminiscent of some Darth Vader armor that maybe Moff Gideon was also wearing, because he has a new look as well. And it was also, we speculated that this may be the Dark Trooper armor from the video game in the 90s. And it seems the internet is also ablaze with a similar ideas that this may be happening. So, like I said, as we talked in the Mando show, we're all very interested as to what this potentially could mean, could be, who they're cloning, how they're cloning, what they're cloning. We know they're trying to do it from Baby Yoda's his blood over there with the M level,
his M count.
So we all know what that means. That's the midichlorians. Very interested to see who those clones are going to pop up to be inside that that vat. If they're gonna tell us that, they're gonna show us that, and also very interested to see exactly how they're gonna explain this whole armor thing.
Well, look, I personally feel that the clone in the vat was Snoke, or
yes,
an early rendition of Snoke. Now,
quite possible.
Was Snoke a character that was willing to be a test subject? We don't know. We have no idea what's going on, but the closest thing in canon, unlike Revan, who's not canon, isn't that right, Spiro?
Revan is canon, because if he's not, then who's left to fucking cheer for? Who's left for the fans to love? Rose Tico, get the fuck out of here.
The closest thing to the Dark Trooper is something called the Purge Troopers, and they have very little in common with the traditional Dark Troopers. I think the breakdown that I've read was that the Phase Zero Dark Troopers were former clones who were transformed into cyborgs like Vader. Then they had Phase One Dark Troopers, which were sentry-like droids wielding vibroblades, similar to Din Djarin's knife, and like they're using the Mandalorian, not the vibroblade that you keep in your drawer.
Yeah, that's a different vibroblade. That's the pink one that lights up. That has a little butthole tickler.
Very nice. We call that Scooby-Dooby-Doo. Then we have the Phase 2 Dark Trooper, which officially became the true battle droid. And they were used to infiltrate rebel bases around the galaxy in Legends. And the last part was Phase 3 Dark Trooper, which were exoskeletons, which looked very similar to what was shown in the last shot of Mandalorian last episode, with battle droid-like features. They were meant to outfit a new battalion of stormtroopers, much of like what Gideon is doing. So everybody's up in arms to see what's going to happen. We made the speculation. You and I together, we both said that we feel that if it is them cloning Force clones to put into this, we'll have a battle royale on Mandalore in the season finale.
Yep.
Where I'll be the Jedi and the Mandalorians together fighting these things. But only time will tell.
We don't got much time left in that clock either. We're halfway done with this Mandalorian season, and I feel like we just started, so...
Isn't that a shame, but isn't that also awesome?
It's good and it's bad at the same exact time.
It's bittersweet.
It is.
You know?
You know what else is bittersweet, Papa Don?
Oh, Doc, what else is bittersweet?
You know what else is bittersweet? Someone who will talk shit about you yet still get a second chance at life. Again, we're going back to our buddy, Finn, FN28796969, John Boyega, who apparently said he had a very productive meeting with one Kathleen Kennedy. Now, we know how our friend Spiro feels about Kathleen Kennedy. Spiro, you want to let us know?
Kathleen Kennedy says the Force is female. That's okay. That's fine. Beautiful. If the Force is female, the Force can go make me a fucking sandwich.
They said they had a productive meeting, yes, about, you know, his role in the Star Wars trilogy. And where they potentially could go from there. There really wasn't a lot of more news coming from there. It was just kind of like, you know, continuation from what happened last week when he said he met with a representative, but apparently it was KK herself at some point that met with him. I know you kind of feel the same, that this is a little bit of damage control that Disney's doing, because you got this young black actor who's pretty much an activist when it comes to, you know, the whole black right stuff that's happening right now across the world, across the country. And he's got a big voice and he wants to be, you know, make it heard. And Disney is kind of probably a little bit afraid of that, actually. So kudos to Boyega if he wants to interject himself back into the trilogy. I really think Finn as a character, you know, deserves to shine a little bit more than they did. And let's hope that they actually do. I think he got a little more shine in the fucking holiday special that we saw, the Lego one, than he did in the regular movies, because they saw Ray training him and
Ray
become his master.
Master. Master.
You got master me on that one.
Well, listen, this is what he said. So I got on a phone call with Kathleen Kennedy, and this is in parentheses, so you know it's verbatim. And she verbally showed support, and we got to have a really nice, transparent, honest conversation that is beneficial to both of us. Very vague, not much meat on that bone, but what does that mean? He goes, I think these kinds of conversations, you can go into the realm of surrounding, like you're just trying to save your own career. But what is great now is that it is a conversation that anyone has access to. Now, people can express themselves about this, knowing that any character we love, especially in the big franchises like Marvel and Star Wars, we love them because of the moments that they are given. We love them because of those moments and the heroic moments that these producers all decide for these characters. So we need to see that in our characters that are maybe black and from other cultures. So... the whole gist of the whole conversation, I mean, look, we all know he got the short end of the stick. He didn't get the rocket put on his back and pushed to the moon like Ray.
Ray!
But again, we weren't there, so we can't pass any judgment on anybody. Could it be because of his race, like Carolee Marie Tran, quote unquote minorities? I hate that label. I hate any label that breaks down the human race, because we're all one race. It doesn't matter if you're Black, Chinese, Indian, Greek, Puerto Rican, white. Doesn't matter. We're all human. At the end of the day, it's the only race that matters. And I'm not doing the Hallmark fucking Thanksgiving holiday after school special message here. You know, the more you know. No, it's not one of those. All I'm telling you is the truth. But do I feel that he got shortchanged? We've said this before. Yes. Do we feel that it's because of his skin color? No, we hope not. Especially this day and age. I just think it was done to bad writing. I think certain idealistic point of views were put into play, and because the people in charge pushed their ideas, other people and other characters got pushed to the wayside. And we saw what we saw. We got what we got. Hopefully they just grow from there.
Yeah. Yeah,
but you mentioned something about the holiday special.
Did.
Didn't I tell you that they poke fun about him being a Jedi?
Yep, they did.
Almost insulting, to the point like, what the fuck, Kathleen Kennedy and J.J. Abrams? You know what I mean?
Yep. Well, listen, I think it's funny how Lego really took that little shot over there towards them by, you know, sticking a lightsaber back in Finn's hand and giving him some Jedi training, you know, to have him, Daisy Ridley be his, I'm not going to say the word, have him be his master. It was hard. It was hard. What, Ray?
Ray!
It was hard.
Because of Ray?
Yes.
Ray!
It was hard to not see that for what it was, like, literally in your face. So,
well, listen, the Star Wars Holiday Special, I liked it. You liked it.
I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. A lot of people feels like it redeemed the genre.
Of the Holiday Special or just Star Wars in general?
I guess both. I mean, the Holiday Special always had a bad connotation to it.
It was so good, it was bad. So bad, it was good.
I wouldn't even say that, Doc. It was just extra footage with the original stars in it. I mean, we got a singing Carrie Fisher, B. Arthur. We get a masturbating Lumpy, the fucking Wookiee, to the Twi'lek hologram. You know,
don't forget Ed Norton.
Oh, yeah. Him too. But I think this one, I think it was well done. It was very fun. It was cute. I hate using that word, but it was.
Well, it's Lego. I mean, it was exactly what it should have been. You know, it was definitely cute. It was definitely, you know, the sweeter side of Star Wars. And I enjoyed how they, you know, spoiler alert, guys, if you haven't watched, please go watch it. We're going to talk about it right now. How they use that little Jedi crystal to travel through time and space and to see, you know, each master with his apprentice and how they interacted to give Rey an idea of how to, you know, further and better train her Padawan now. I guess you want to call her Padawan. What's his face? Finn. There were a lot of funny moments inside there with I like the Qui-Gon one and the Obi-Wan Kenobi one where they're sitting on the deck of the Trade Federation, and they're like going back and forth. I can't remember what Obi-Wan said to Qui-Gon, but he said something funny to him, but right before the gas hit. He was complaining about something about you know, and then, you know, Qui-Gon tells him, be mindful, Obi-Wan. And then we get to see Anakin and Obi-Wan and the Emperor, of course, and Vader. Was it me or was the guy, the voice of the Emperor sounds like the guy who plays him on Robot Chicken?
Could very well be. I don't remember.
It sounded very, very similar. But all around, I give it an A+. I thought it was great. My son watched it for a good 15 minutes before he decided to disappear and go watch something else.
I pop with Luke Skywalker with the blue can of the blue carton of milk.
Oh, yeah. And he's got the little line of milk across his lip. It's always blue.
Looked like he blew a Smurf. And speaking about blowing Smurfs, no, I'm just kidding.
I don't know where I'm going to go with that transition.
Well, I was going to go to our former producer, but that's another story for another time.
Exactly.
So, news came out. Our boy, not Shane Helms' boy, Obi-Wan, a.k.a. Kenobi, a.k.a.
The Negotiator,
a.k.a. Ben Kenobi.
Old Ben?
Old Ben. Ben Rice, yes. Oh, Uncle Ben Rice. He's making rice on Tatooine.
Not anymore. I think that, didn't they cancel him? Along with Aunt Jemima?
Probably. Who knows? Everyone's getting canceled. You're getting canceled, and you're getting canceled.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Well, listen. Obi-Wan eyes Aladdin star for female lead. The upcoming Obi-Wan series is considering actress Naomi Scott of Disney's Aladdin as a female lead to star along Ewan McGregor. The upcoming Obi-Wan TV show is finally in the process of casting, and showrunners seem to be eyeing Aladdin star Naomi Scott for a lead role. Scott is an actor.
A bit young, no?
I don't know. Scott is an actress most well known for her live action remake role in Disney's Aladdin. She was also a Power Ranger. She's very beautiful. She's not bad on the eyes. So I'll tell you that much. It wouldn't be a bad thing to have a beautiful woman on the show. But I think there's also another person who's also in the run for the female lead. She was also in Charlie's Angels. But there's also considering an actress named Thuso Mbedu and Anula.
God bless you.
You're welcome. Gesundheit. Anula Navlekar. I don't know what they are from or what they've starred in, but this lady, I mean, if there's three people that it's come down to, it has to have some kind of prominent role in this series. Do you think she's the one who carries Obi-Wan home after a drunk stupor at the fucking cantina every night?
I've had one too many death sticks. You need to take me home now, dear.
I don't even know you, you old creepy man.
I was once a Jedi. You will take me home now. You will unzip my pants. You will pull out my lightsaber and press the button on the bottom of my testicles and ignite it.
You want to hear a funny story about that? Hold on.
I can picture him going, you're not going anywhere. It's getting cold outside.
You're going to cancel that one, too. It's terrible.
But they don't cancel WAP, right? Get the fuck out of here.
Listen, when I was a medical student, I got to tell you a funny story. I saw this patient, this 60-year-old black dude who got carjacked, got whacked in the head with a gun. Somebody steal his car, right? So he came in, he had a head injury, it was a trauma. We do a bunch of x-rays for traumas. One, we get a pelvic x-ray, right? So I'm wet behind the ears, medical student, don't know shit. So the attending, who's the doctor in charge, sees the x-ray. And he goes, why don't you go ask that guy if he had any surgeries? I said, okay. So I walk in. I was like, hey, sir, do you have any surgeries? He's like, oh, my gallbladder out. I was like, okay. Anything else? He's like, nope. I walk back. I tell him, it's just his gallbladder. He goes, ask him if he has any surgeries in his groin. So I go back and I was like, sir, you have any surgeries? He goes, yeah, I said my gallbladder. I said, what about down here? And the guy's like, he's got this trickle of blood dripping down his face. He's bandaged up like a World War II guy. And he goes, I got a pump in my dick.
What?
And the attending, the doctor in charge, saw the pump in his testicles on that x-ray and purposely sent me in there to fuck with me, which is hilarious.
Why does he have a pump in his dick?
Because some people, if Viagra doesn't work for everybody, so you have to put a fake testicle inside your testicles. You have three testicles, and you squeeze it, and it basically pumps your dick up so you can have sex.
Is that legit?
It's legit.
What? Is that like I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, so that's a good thing, see? Wow. I bet you the guys in the academy know that.
I guess so. They probably do. I mean, look, beam me up has a whole new meaning now. Now, does it not? Live long and pump prosper, I guess. I don't know. Well, look.
Who's prosper?
I don't know, but you got to get pump it up. News came out. Your boy.
Who's boy?
Your boy. The Mandalorian.
Oh, my boy, the Mandalorian, of course.
Boba Fett.
Who?
Boba Fett.
Where?
Boba Fett, where?
Where?
Do you want to take this story? I know you're chopping at the bits.
I am chopping with this. Last week we speculated when we heard that the Mandalorian, as it ends, will spin
You speculated, and you hit the nail on the head.
I speculated that Boba Fett, listen, I say we, because this is a collective show, Pop, okay? I can't do it without you. You can't do it without me. Spiro left us, but that's okay. So the We speculated last week that the spinoff show for Boba Fett would not be a continuation of The Mandalorian, but yet tell his story about what happened to him after he was, you know, being digested by the Sarlacc pit. And Star Wars, was it StarWars.net, right? Confirms that that is the time period that we will be seeing the Boba Fett series in. So, Lickfinger, chalk one up for the duck. I am right, and I am now officially twice as excited as I was before. Can you see it now? Hold on. I'm going to poke myself in the eye with it. Twice as excited as I was before, because this is exactly what I want to see. I want to see him get to that point at the end of The Mandalorian, at the end of the first episode, to see where he's been, what he's been doing, how he's been hiding, and how he's been surviving. And I cannot wait.
You're not the only one. A lot of people are very excited about this series coming out. A lot of people love Boba Fett. They decided to cast somebody on the show as well. Jordan Bolger in a supporting role. Bolger is best known for his role in Peaky Blinders. Peaky fucking Blinders, mate.
I commandeer this stolen money by order of the Peaky Blinders.
Where he appeared
by the way, the five people listening, if you guys have not watched Peaky Blinders, do yourself a favor and watch Peaky Blinders. Pop it on, turn me on to it. My wife loves it. I love it. Fantastic show. Please watch it.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the best shows I've seen ever of all time. This guy, Jordan, he was in 13 of the 30 episodes from Peaky Blinders. I think he got recasted for some other reason. But they don't go into what character he's going to play. But the fact that it's been reported on the direct and the rags on Star Wars, StarWarsNews.net, that this is actually a go. Not speculation. It's not we got this covered bullshit. It's a go, which means that all steam ahead, all, you know, the wheels on the bus are going round and round. And we're moving along with this thing, and I can't be happier, dude. I honestly can't be happier.
I would be really happy if they actually had started filming already on it, because then we could kind of have like a very minimal section between Mando and this. Doubt it, but that's okay. Super pumped, man. I mean, if they're announcing people that are popping in and out and people are getting casted for whatever, who gives a shit? Let's do it. And you know who's going to helm it? Filoni and Favreau. And you know what we say, Pop?
In Filoni and Favreau, we trust. Yeah. Now, there's speculation, rumors, sexual Nintendo's going on that Filoni and Favreau are building an MCU-like universe with all these shows. That'll be a big payoff down the road. Almost like a Berlanti verse that they had on with the DC characters on the CW. It's starting to look that way, because in the Bad Batch, they're bringing back a character, a fan favorite character. Do you know what I'm talking about, though, Doc?
I do know what you're talking about. So the Bad Batch, which is, you know, our clones that we saw, the dejected, rejected offshoot clones that we saw in the last season of the Clone Wars, who we all loved, you know, Crosshair, Hunter, who are the other two? Goofy and
Sleazy, Dopey. Exactly.
The big guy, they're going to spin off into their own series, which we had also speculated as well a few months ago after we saw the Bad Batch pop in, and then we had no payoff for them showing up. They're going to spin off another series, and it's rumored that someone who we just saw is going to be inside the pages of the ooh, Bad Batch, which is going to be
that's what makes out right there,
Bo-Katan, baby.
She's getting around.
She's getting around, Bo-Katan.
Round and round. She really
she's getting around.
Around.
I'm excited about that. You know, hopefully Katie Sackhoff, which I can't imagine she won't, but she'll, you know, revisit her part from over there. But something
over here now.
But something that did pop up this week revolving around Bo-Katan, which I wasn't so happy about, Pop.
Yeah, you know, your age, you should be happy when it pops up.
I know. I should be happy when it pops up. But, you know, our girl who criticized the first episode of The Mandalorian, what's her name? Anita Sorokinson. Some crazy-ass Twitter feminist who, you know, really has nothing to do other than, you know, bother Star Wars about its non-femininity, complained that this week's episode of Mandalorian, last week's episode of Mandalorian, with the Mandalorians, the females had booby body armor. So, you know, their breasts were visible on their breastplate for their body armor. Made a tweet about it, showed a photo about it. And again, guess who's trying to get over on Star Wars? Take your agenda, lube it up really nice, turn it sideways, and shove it up your ass, because nobody wants to fucking hear you. If you're a woman, okay, and you're wearing armor, of course you have to accommodate for the extra portions that you had. Now, you and I both know, Pop, that if they didn't have the booby chest plate, she would have complained that they made them masculinized and they didn't put, you know, accommodate them for their female parts. So people like this, there are absolutely no winning. Zero, because they're always going to look at something and twist it to their fucking narrative to get themselves over with the people that follow them.
Hey, speaking! Oh, sorry.
I was waiting for it. You know how many times I do that on a regular basis in my real life, in my head, and sometimes out loud, like all the fucking time. And they get over with the people who just love to hear themselves in a fucking echo chamber, which I hate to use, you know, the usual buzzwords, but that's what it is.
Look, we have a whole group of snowflakes, soy boys, SJWs, people who are not happy with their lives, that all they want to do is make noise on the social webs, on the interwebs, on the social media outlets to try to get themselves over. And speaking of, basically, we don't adhere to their nonsense because it's all minuscule little kid rants, and it's done in every aspect, in every genre of life, politics, music, cinema. But in this case, it happens to be one that's near and dear to our black hearts, and that's Star Wars, Galaxy Far Away. How dare you, sir? But case in point, this chick, yeah, that's right, you're a chick, so go make me a sandwich and shut up. You want to talk about boob armor? Look, what do you want her to wear? Whatever the Mandalorian outfit is, form-fitted armor. So it's going to fit around the form of the female figure. Now, if she was flat-chested, it would be flat-chested. But Katie Sackhoff is not flat-chested. So that's why there's some curvature in her armor. There's nothing sexual to it. Then you have the other group of idiots complaining about Baby Yoda eating eggs, right?
Oh, my God.
To the point now where our girl, your girl, Finn's girl, Ray, has come out, Daisy Ridley herself, and talked about this egg-eating scandal that was due to The Mandalorian. And she says, when asked, you know, what are your thoughts about all these people speaking out about Baby Yoda eating the eggs, and she was in support for Team Baby Yoda. And a lot of people are shocked by it. She said that, let me get the quote, I'm looking for it right now, god dang it.
All you dumb little motherfuckers better stop this bullshit cancel culture.
Oh, here he goes. She goes, I'm like, Yoda, do your thing. The creature got to be where she needed to be with the eggs. It's all good. It was beautiful. And it was as beautiful as Brandon Miller's mother taking it in the bum.
In the bum bum.
And that's a direct quote from Daisy Ridley. So, you know, look, at the end of the day, we're not gonna make everybody happy, you know? But we're not trying to make everybody happy, because that's Mission Impossible.
Oh,
But at the same time, let's use some logic and common sense. And I know that's not common nowadays because we have all these people who like to throw rants about the silliest things. And this is just another case of it. It's just another case of that old PTA. Anyhow, so Doc, well, better yet, excuse me, Doc, hold, put a pin in that. Spiro, what do you think this person, Anita Applebaum, needs to do regarding her tweets and her message on the Twitter?
They're looking kind of hungry. Matter of fact, they look like they're starving. That's okay. The dark one's got you covered. I'm going to serve you a nice big dish. My specialty, guys, okay? A big bag of dicks. Eat them up.
Well, I couldn't have said it better myself. What about you, Doc?
Yeah, well, you know, listen, Spiro, you sum it up as usual, buddy. Fantastic.
He's a wordsmith.
He is a wordsmith. He's doling out those bag of dicks all day long.
Well, you know, when in Rome, when in the academy.
Well, in Greece.
Nah, I don't know about that. But look, I'll tell you one thing I do know about. I know about Chewbacca's real nickname. Do you know about Chewbacca's real nickname?
Oh, it's not Chewy. It's not Walking Carpet. It's not Fuzzball. Because Han Solo had a shit ton of nicknames for him.
Well, that's because, you know, that's his bromance right there. That's his brochacho.
Brochacho?
His brochacho from another mamacita. Look, do you want to take the reins here? You want to keep painting Hank McCoy's shaft? Oh, Cobra!
Cobra Commander! My favorite voices of all time. So apparently, Chewbacca has another nickname that we may or may not have heard. I think I actually heard this nickname in the past before. But our friend Bosk, who is a very big is a very big Transdosian bounty hunter. And we all know those Transdosians are not big fans of those Wookiees, of which Chewbacca is one. Has nicknamed Chewbacca the champ, not chain wrestler.
You broke up. Say it again.
The chain breaker, not the chain wrestler, not the chain smoker, not the subway chain, not the A-train, not the A-chain, chain breaker.
And that's because of Chewbacca's ability to free the Wookiees who were enslaved. Nice little story. You know, I like when they flesh out the backstory between two characters that we've seen on screen before, who really have had little to none interaction with each other cinematically, but behind the scenes have got a legitimate beef. And I wouldn't mind seeing a throwdown between official throwdown between Chewie and Bosk, where they really go at it.
Oh, definitely. It would definitely be dope. So, quick question. You just said you liked it when they flush it out from the back? Giggity, giggity, giggity. Yes, sure. Yes, 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 folks. This show goes off the rails more time than any train on the New York City transit line.
Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up.
Did you know that the mouse that runs the house is very stingy with the scarol, with the cheddar? Bitch.
Well, you know, mice are usually stingy with cheddar, so.
You know,
I got you. I believe the, you know, the mouse, we all know that, you know, Disney paid $4.3 billion for the Star Wars property. But Disney feels that they're not picking up any of Lucasfilm's liabilities along with that property. But, you know, in reality, if you have a contract with a independent contractor and your company that has that is bought by a different company, those contracts usually kind of still hold weight, especially if it's one for future earnings and residuals and royalties off of things that a person may have done. So the individual in question is a writer that has written a significant amount of things for Disney, well, for Lucasfilm, really. What's his name? Alan something.
Alan Dean Foster.
There you go, Alan Dean Foster. I had a brain fart for a second there.
He's the one who did Splinter of the Mind's Eye, which was the original sequel to Star Wars.
Exactly. Which is, you know, at this point, are they considering that canon now still?
No, it's not canon at all.
Yeah, so this is why they don't want to pay this guy.
It wasn't even canon when George was doing Empire Strikes Back. They just, you know, cast it to the side.
Yeah. But that was officially the first sequel to the original Star Wars movie. So, you know, this guy has definitely a place in Star Wars. He's also did some treatments for the Aliens movies.
Yeah.
I also think that he, which Disney owes him money for that too, because they bought 20th Century Fox. And he also has, I think he wrote the first script for The Force Awakens.
Something like that,
as
yes.
Well, so Disney does not want to pay him the residuals and the royalties for the books that are continuing to sell that he has written under the Lucasfilm banner. And, you know, unfortunately, Alan and his wife have ill health right now. His wife is very sick. He is also has some, you know, late stage cancer or something like that.
And, she was diagnosed in 2016 with some kind of cancer, they said.
Yeah.
Advanced form of cancer.
Yeah, I think he also said that he has it too. And he says, listen, I'm not looking for charity. I'm just looking for what I'm owed. And he is pursuing legal action against the mouse, which I can't imagine that's going to be an easy, cheap thing, you know? And I can't imagine a lawyer being like, yeah, sure, I'll take this case for the residuals that you want, which is not going to be a lot of money, to go head-to-head with the multitude of lawyers that Disney probably has. So the mouse is not doing the right thing right now. You know, this poor guy's on death's door over here. He's probably ancient. And they're just trying to screw him over. And speaking, they're trying to screw him over for whatever royalties that he has. This, of which Lucas was paying him at some point. Lucasfilm was paying him at some point. So it's kind of fucked up, you know?
In the words of Mickey Mouse, oh boy!
Yeah, oh boy, you can go fuck yourself now. So I think it's kind of fucked up. These guys got dough, man. You know, this guy is... My dad does the best Donald Duck.
Does he really?
He does. Classic. So it's kind of fucked up that they're not paying this guy who's had a pivotal part in the Star Wars universe and, you know, produced for them. It's a little messed up. So
I agree.
Hopefully that gets resolved. Hopefully Disney smartens up and just pays this guy. I don't know if they don't want to set a precedent with this guy and everybody else who's out there, but... You know, I'm sure there's a shit ton of other writers and artists and stuff who had produced stuff for Lucasfilm that are still getting published by Disney. And if they're not getting paid, then, you know, clearly that's a problem. And we're talking about peanuts to the dollar on stuff like this. It's not like this is, you know, some $55 million deal that they're going to get. It's going to be a couple of bucks here and there when it comes to, you know, paying the bills, getting some milk on the table, some blue milk on the table. But, you know, Disney needs to really step up and kind of do the right thing here, I think.
I think so, too. I think Disney needs to get their fucking act together because if someone's going to complain about a role in a movie and being cast to the side and they're going to bend over backwards to make that happen, this guy's sick with cancer and they're not living up to their legal obligations.
Yep.
You know, look, if you're going to do right by somebody on that, you know, on one side of the fence, you got to do it across the board evenly, no matter what the scenario is, you know?
It's because this guy's not young and black. That's probably why.
I mean, I hope that's not the case, but you're probably onto something here. I mean, so what's the scenario? But I'll tell you something, though. Bo knows this and Bo knows that. But Pedro Pascal knows something, a little something, too. He decided to back our girl, Gina Carano.
Gina Carano. Not,
yes, because she's getting a lot of heat on the Twitter.
She's taking the heat.
He decided to drop some kind of on Instagram, some kind of show poster, old school show poster for the latest chapter of The Mandalorian. And he puts Pals, Peril, and Blue Cookies. Chapter 12 of The Mandalorian, directed by legendary Carl Weathers, starring the fishy Mr. Sands and the indomitable Gina Carano, and the hashtag Me, Mando, and Child. Art by Butcher Billy. Fucking badass, by the way, poster.
The poster's dope. Looks like an old school Western poster.
Looks like an old school Marvel Comics
Yep.
What do you call it? Cover. Now, the word indomitable, I-N-D-O-M-I-T-A-B-L-E. Did you know what that means?
And use it in a sentence.
What?
Use it in a sentence.
I don't even know
it's
what
like
that means.
You could like it's like a indomitable, like larger than life, ability to conquer things. Like that's kind of the context of the word.
Gotcha. Well, good for him, because you know what, man? She's gathering a lot of flack for stating her point of view, and all you fucking soy boys and SJWs and snowflakes out there trying to cancel her and get her fired because she just expressed her opinion. How dare you?
How dare you?
You know, not for nothing about Pedro Pascal as well. He came out and said some stuff back in the day, you know, calling President Trump a Nazi. No one fucking blinked an eye because it agreed with the narrative of the left, which controls the media. Now, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole because it's the wrong podcast.
Wrong podcast.
But, I mean, with all due respect, this is the United States of America, and you are entitled to your own opinion. Just because it doesn't agree with the opinion of another person doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong. I mean, let's face it. If that's the case, then we're going to have to ban free speech, and we can't ban free speech because that would be the death of democracy.
Democracy!
And that's when democracy dies. With a
I love democracy.
But I'll tell you what, you know what? Doc, you, my friend, are a master in your craft, are you not?
Which craft are we talking about here?
Anything that you put your mind to.
You are damn right, my friend.
I'm a master of my craft. But did you know that Star Wars reveals what makes a Jedi a master? And allegedly, Anakin Luke don't qualify.
They do not qualify. I know. I read this with like a very like a enthusiasm to see what the story was. So they, you know, they talked about to become a Jedi Master, you have to train a Padawan that has to graduate to become a Jedi Knight. So both Anakin and Luke never had their Padawans graduate to become a Jedi Knight. No bueno. They also made the statement that Leia may be more of a master than Luke Skywalker because she theoretically trained Rey.
Rey!
All right. And Rey became a Jedi Knight. So there's a lot of controversy with that shit. You know, Ahsoka never became a Jedi Knight. She left the order prior to that happening. Some would say she's still, at this point, probably a Jedi Master. I mean, you know, for all intents and purposes, without doing the trials and all that other stuff like that, she's pretty fucking badass. So, you know, I would lean towards that way. But Anakin never had a Padawan that advanced to that point. Luke, as well, with Ben Solo and his rest of his students, did not do that either. Now, the question begs to differ is why did they call Anakin Master in the Clone Wars? It was only Ahsoka who called him Master, right?
Yeah, because you could sit on the council, but we're not going to grant you the rank of Master.
Okay. But I think the Padawans always had to call their Master, even if they weren't a Master, right?
Yeah, out of respect.
Out of respect, yeah. Okay, so I think that's probably the reason why. But did anybody else call Anakin Master? I don't think they called him. He was, what was he, General Skywalker?
No, the youngling. Master Skywalker.
Oh, that's right.
There's too many of them.
Yeah, there's too many. Yeah, sorry, buddy.
Yeah, sorry about your old damn luck, kid.
They did call the master, and they paid for it. Probably the last person to do that. Sad. But yeah, so that's an interesting little tidbit over there. I'm okay with that, I think. I find it interesting. I find it funny that they would do that. But I understand, and I'm okay with it.
I know what Spiro's thinking right now regarding this.
Yeah.
I guarantee you what if the Force Ghost in the room, I can feel the hate emulating from his essence. He's saying fucking Kathleen Kennedy and the feminism and giving Leia more prominence because she trained Rey, and because she became a Jedi, and they're shitting on Anakin and they're shitting on Luke. You know what? whatever, man. You know, what would you do, Spiro, if you had to go talk to Kathleen Kennedy about this and you know, and your other favorite director, what's his name? From episode 8, The Last Jedi.
Rian Johnson.
Rian Johnson. What would you do?
Fuck Kathleen Kennedy. Fuck Rian Johnson. Neither of them should ever be involved with Star Wars ever again. And if that happens, I'm going to march my ass right up to the front doors of Disney. I'm going to kick down the doors and I'm going to lay the smack of down on both the candy asses.
Well, listen, you do what you got to do to represent your homies on the dark side of the Force. Doc and I will hold the fort down over here, continue what we're doing. And that's contributing to the internet world and letting out the greatest, most entertaining Star Wars podcast in the universe, in the galaxy far, far away. Am I right, Doctor?
Yeah, damn right.
Do you concur, Doctor?
I do, sir. Yes, I concur.
Dr. Harris.
Yes?
Do you concur?
Concur with what, sir?
With what Dr. Ashlin just said. Do you concur?
Well, there's a bicycle accident. The boy told us.
So you concur?
Concur?
I think we should take an x-ray, then stitch him out and put him in a walking cast.
Very good, Dr. Ashlin, very good. Well, you don't seem to have much need for me. Carry on.
That's all we say all day long. Do you concur? I concur. Okay.
Do you concur? Do you, I concur. Do you concur? That was a great scene. I should have concurred. the Knights of Ren. You know who they are?
Never heard of them.
Really?
Oh, those are the guys who got jobbed out.
Do you know why they got jobbed out?
Because Ben Solo was such a powerful, powerful Jedi. / dark side user, whatever you want to call them.
But they were somewhat powerful in the Force too, but do you know why they got jobbed out?
Tell me why, Papa Don.
Because allegedly they didn't refine their skills. They didn't work on making themselves.
Can't work, kid.
Exactly. They didn't know a wrist lock from a wrist watch. So, I don't know. What do you know?
You know, it's. I think it's just, this article came out talking about the Knights of Ren, of how they basically were pillagers and destroyed things and were badasses. But, you know, like you said, they didn't work as hard as they should. Only two of them developed lightsabers, and then they were controlled by the Master Ren. You know, Ren, the guy, actual his name was Ren before that. And then Kylo Ren. And that's why he was able to defeat them so easily, because, you know, I guess they were out of shape, whatever they had the COVID-19 on. I just think, again, it's just some retconning bullshit where they're like, well, you know, these guys took a real fucking bad hit and they kind of look like shit. So let's make it look why they look like shit for a reason. And I think it's just, again, bad writing and them trying to be like, oh, well, let's make this negative into a positive somehow. Get that crap out of here.
More damage control, right?
Old damage control.
Trying to get over on the masses.
Don't get over. And speak. Well, before we go there, hold on a second. I'm gonna hold that thought. Something just came in, Papa Dunn, that was sent to me by none other than my son, the big one. I'm going to say big one because he's enormous. From GetFandom.com on Instagram, Star Wars sells official child macaroons, the cookies that the Baby Yoda was eating during the episode, the blue ones, for $50.
Wow.
Now, listen, macaroons are expensive. I know, because my wife has an inkling for them, but $50 for a couple macaroons? I think not. I think I'm well over those macaroons.
And speaking of macaroons, I mean, over. We do a segment here on the New Force Order. If you're a first-time listener and you're still listening after all the shenanigans and horseshit that we spit out every week, especially on this show today, hopefully Doc has picked up on all my old school hip hop references, but I digress. Over is wrestling terminology. Now, I am a professional wrestler. Doc is a doctor at these events, so he's in the inner circle. Spiro, the Force Ghost in the room, is a huge fan of wrestling and is on the inside circle as well. He's in the inner circle. He knows the gist. He knows how the sausage is made or how the spanakopita is made. So We incorporate these terms in the show. So over means getting popular with the fans. When you're a good guy wrestler, you're a babyface wrestler. And when you get over as a babyface, people are going to pay a lot of Scott Hall to come see you kick the crap out of the heel. The women want to sleep with you. The men want to be with you. Some of them do. But the men want to be you. The kids want to grow up and have muscles like you. And be tough like you, and do all the flippity doodads like you. When you're a heel, you're the villain. When you're over as a heel, the fans pay a lot of Scott Hall to come see you get your ass kicked because they loathe you. They despise you. They want to see your head on a spike. So what we do on this show is we compare two aspects of Star Wars. It could be a person, it could be a place, it could be a thing. It doesn't matter. And we see what's over with you, the fans, all five of you guys. But most importantly, what's over with us? So, Doc, tell them what's on the marquee this week.
Well, the marquee this week, on the heels of the last episode of The Mandalorian, where we saw these two vehicles pop into view, and I thought of this battle right before we saw the land speeder, and not even the speeder bike, but this week it's going to be the two old school vehicles from the OT trilogy. The Land Speeder, driven by Luke Skywalker.
How long have you had these droids?
About three or four seasons.
They're up for sale if you want them.
Let me see your identification.
You don't need to see his identification.
We don't need to see his identification.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
These aren't the droids we're looking for.
He can go about his business.
You can go about your business.
Move along.
Move along. Move along.
I can't abide those Jawas. Disgusting creatures. Go on. Go on.
Versus the speeder bikes made most popular in the Empire, in the Return of the Jedi, manned by the biker scouts to the forest moon of Endor.
Quick, jam their conlink. Better switch.
So, Doc,
shall we go to the polls?
Okay.
Shall we go to the polls? I've got a knot full of singles.
You stole my thunder. I was going to introduce it, but go ahead.
Of course. With a 2-1 trouncing 66-33% on the Facebook, the speeder bike is moreover the land speeder.
That's on Facebook?
That is on the Book of Faces.
What about the gram of Insta?
Let me see the gram of Insta. Hold on one second here. Let me punch that bad boy up. Here we go. Here we go. On the Instagram, it is a very similar split. The speeder bike is definitely over. Looks like about 60-40.
Wow.
Took a beating, the fucking land speeder.
Do we have any comments?
And it looks like it took a beating too. We do have comments.
Took a licking, keeps on ticking.
That's what she said. Here's our comments. Carlos Negrete.
Oh, what? From the famous Negretes.
From the famous Negrete crime family.
No, who wrestled the Villanos down in Mexico City.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they were still the crime family. One of the most memorable vehicles in Star Wars, along with the AT-AT, TIE Fighter, and the Imperial Star Destroyer, was the speeder bike. So he
votes. What about Darth Vader's X-Wing?
Darth Vader's X-Wing. No, I don't think that was on there. So he votes for the speeder bike. John M. Wright. Johnny M. Wright. Shout out to John M. Wright. Happy birthday, John M. Wright. It was your birthday this week. We know, you baklava-looking mother. Captain, happy birthday. I am going to go speeder bike. Iconic look. Very cool action scenes with it, and they were used in races outside of the movies, plus they looked way cooler. Oddly enough, though, I know this is very weird. John M. Wright, he skewed the numbers. He liked the speeder bike photo, and he also liked the land speeder photo. So in reality, the speeder bike was even more over the land speeder by a 4-1 margin. So, because John, you can't vote twice. So that's our comment.
Yeah. This isn't a democratic mail-in ballot nonsense. That's right. Come on.
Exactly. And you got to be alive to vote too. So,
and we know he's not alive because the Star Wars fan base is dead anyway. So, I mean, Star Trek fan base is dead anyway.
I don't even know what that is.
Why don't you yawn in the mic some more and be unprofessional?
All right, man. Kids, I was up early this morning getting a new washing machine.
Getting a new washing machine?
Yes.
Why? What happened to Sharon?
He beat me to it. I was like, I threw this wife out too. She tells me the washing machine is leaking. We have to get a new one. I said, let me see. Pull your pants out. I'll tell you. I'll diagnose it right now.
Let me plug that hole for you.
Terrible, but true. Anyway.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys can send us emails regarding this segment, any segment that we do. Tell us how much you love the show, how much you hate the show, whatever. Just interact with us. We want fan interaction. NewForceOrder@yahoo.com is the email address. Our first email comes from Blair McKim, the Speeders. That is the title of the email. So kind of think this is going somewhere. Good evening, friends. Of all the more over comparisons, this is one of the toughest for me to pick. Really?
I like it.
Who wouldn't want both parked in their garage? Okay. I'm with him on that, Doc. What about you?
Yeah, no, I'm in so far.
Speeder bikes are ridiculously fast and cool looking. But how many riders have we seen end up on a greasy spot on a giant redwood tree or on a canyon wall? I'm more of a sports car guy, so even though I'm torn, I'm going with the land speeder. Just one thing, however. It would have to be Han's modified Mobquet M68 from the Solo movie. That speeder was one of the coolest vehicles in all of Star Wars. And it's what put the land speeder over for me on this poll. Blair, Silver Surfer 78. Well, Blair, good on you. You took the good, you take the bad.
You take them both, Blair.
That's what you had. The facts of life.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. The facts of life.
In your garage.
Exactly. And I also thought that the speeder from Han's Solo movie was great, except the side of it was missing some paneling on one side. So whatever. If I'm going to have it, I wanted to make it look very nice. But I digress. It's a fake fucking thing anyway.
We're going to go move out of your parents' basement.
Go get laid, kid. Stop being a Trekkie. Next one, the Gilbiest of Tims. Who's more over segment? Hey, NFO guys. Good one this week for sure. Wow, a lot of people love this week, Doc. Good job. I think the episode helped.
For sure, I think it helped.
And you know what? It was very coincidental that the episode fell on this NFO's segment top pick for who's more over because we didn't plan it. It's not like we knew about the episode beforehand.
When I was watching the episode, I saw the Land Speeder. I'm like, oh, what can I put that against? And I was like, let's see what this Land Speeder or the speeder bike. And then 10 minutes later, the speeder bikes come out. I was like, oh, that's so serendipitous.
Well, the speeder bike looks fun to use and has had way more screen time throughout the saga. But to me, the Land Speeders, moreover, these days when they roll out after these droids are not the droids you're looking for scene happens. I imagine those world star glasses appearing on Obi-Wan's face and the gangster music starting. Oh, that Thug Life meme? Please put the actual beat in so people know what the fuck we're talking about.
That was pretty good. Come on.
The fucking Eagle Double G. Snoop Dogg. You know I'm mobbing with the D.R.E.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know who's back up in this motherfucker.
So, here we go. Drum roll, please. P.S.
That's never good when you do that.
What do you call a Jedi who loves tacos?
Don't tell me. Jesus Christ. I'm going to all the Jedis in my head and trying to change their name. I don't know. Go ahead.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Wan Kenobi?
J-U-A-N.
I got it. That was bad.
NFO okay. For life.
Life.
All right. Next one. The speeder. Land speeder. From T-Sun, T-Su. I don't know. I'm sorry if I'm butchering your email. The Land Speeder.
The Shinsu, the Art of War Shinsu?
I guess so. It's T-S-U-N, T-S-U-E, Sunsu.
That's the Art of War.
The Land Speeder has more iconic feel to it. In fact, it's still showing up in The Mandalorian. Okay. So do the speeder bikes, but I guess you're peeking the Land Speeder. Land Speeder's over strong on the emails, but on the
interesting.
Brandon Miller.
Here we go.
Who's more over? Right off the bat, fellas, I want to thank you for that A+ interview with Mr. Stanton last week. Oh, why thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, last week we had a guest. We actually broke up the show into two shows last week. We had Steven Stanton on and we interviewed him. And then after he had to leave, because he had an early gig the next morning, we went into the show and we did our shtick. And because our shtick is our shtick and we don't pay him by the numbers and we always, you know, go off the rails, we didn't want to give Mr. Stanton any heat with the mouse that runs the house. So we broke up the shows into two different shows so we can play nice and party hard at the same time. So you guys can check it out in the archives.
That's called a move done by a professional.
It's common courtesy for a gentleman who's a friend of the show and a nice guy. So we look out for people like that. That's what the NFO does, because we want to give Star Wars more over with you fans. We're not looking to get over on Star Wars like that cunt Anita Applebaum on fucking Twitter or whatever her name is. Anyway,
Anita Applebaum.
You got to put me on. Right off the bat, fellas, I want to thank you for the A+ interview with Mr. Stanton last week. It's always great to hear someone so passionate about Star Wars that got to make his own mark in the business as well. And props to you guys for locking down a guest like that and giving a great interview. Well done. Well, thank you. For this week's debate, I got to go with the Land Speeder for one sole reason. Any speeder bike level in Star Wars video games growing up was pure hell.
True story.
I don't know why the developers thought kids would avoid mazes of trees while traveling 200 miles per hour. And I still get PTSD watching the scene on Endor to this day. Seriously, Luke Skywalker was a crater at least 100 times because of me. I really hope one of my fellow listeners felt this pain with the video games too. It was Mario Kart on Ritalin. Ah, pop. Nice, slow, and safe land speeder over strong. Have a happy Thanksgiving, boys, from your Canadian neighbor, Brandon.
Oh, he's Canadian. I know he's Canadian. We have a lot of Canadian listeners, man. What's going on with Canada? I'll take it.
Well, after they're done fucking their uncles, they want to listen to the NFL.
Uncle fuckers.
Listen, Mr. Miller, all I'm going to tell you.
Wait, do me a favor. Say it in Iron Sheik voice.
Okay. Mr. Miller, Sheiky wants to tell you thank you. Thank you very much for the giving thanks of the gobble gobble and the gobbling goobler. May you in Canada with the Bret Hart and the Stu Hart, he make you tap out and humble after he fuck your ass like you are your mom. May you get stuffed in the bum like your mom, like we stuff the turkey here in the USA. Iran number one, USA, hop to it. Is that good?
Canada didn't even rate a hop to on that one. Love it.
You're right.
So,
Doc, what's more for you?
All right. So I thought about this a lot, actually, after we had decided that we're doing this one. Listen, speeder bike is gangster, man. Like you said, you're going fucking 120 miles an hour on that thing, whipping through this, whipping through that. Ridiculous.
Whip it good.
You must whip it. Now whip it. Into shape. Shape it up. Get straight. Go forward. Move ahead. Try to detect it. It's not too late to whip it. Whip it good. When a good time turns around, you must whip it.
It's such a gangster vehicle. But it's dangerous as fuck, as everybody has said, okay? If you equate it to the motorcycle, you know, and as an ER physician, we call the motorcycle the donor cycle, because usually when people come in from accidents or motorcycles, all they're doing is donating the organs to somebody who needs them, because they usually do not survive, because they get mauled, because you have no protection, much like the speeder on a motorcycle. So being the health conscious and worried about my brain and feeding my family, for me, it's not going to be the speeder bike. It probably wouldn't have been the speeder bike 20 years ago either, when I was a whippersnapper and much more of a gangster. It's the land speeder, but there has to be specific alterations. Now, you can't give me the land speeder that Luke traded to the Jawas, because that thing looked like a fucking piece of shit. It looked like the first car that I had, which was a 77 Chevy Impala, blue.
1877?
Pretty much 1877. There was a horse that pulled the blue buggy.
You had horses in the 1877 Impala?
A ton of horses. Ton of horses.
In the trunks?
Listen, in that Impala, I could fit about 12 horses in the back seat, because the thing literally looked like the Love Boat. The ceiling was falling down because, like, the used the glue onto the styrofoam and the ceiling was, like, breaking down. I knocked off both mirrors pulling out of parking lots. I dragged that shit across Brooklyn.
You don't
like,
pull out at all.
Yeah,
I know
this
you.
Is true. I destroyed that car. I pulled out of the parking lot, scraping the whole side. I didn't give a shit. And that thing was indestructible. It was the Millennium Falcon of fucking cars. And this is what reminds me of Luke's speeder. So you have to take that speeder, the land speeder, and you have to shine it up nice. You have to give it to Exhibit. And Exhibit has to pimp that ride. I want the big speakers in the back where C-3PO was sitting to blast the stuff out. I want the thing to do the Eddie Guerrero, you know, roll into the ring. Low rider and popping and locking up from over there. I want the hood to open up and everything be nice and shiny inside there. And I want flames painted on the side. Black with red lightsaber flames coming out the side of it. Then you give me that land speeder. And for me, that's what I'm picking.
Wow. Very vivid description of your land speeder. Well, I'd see you very passionate about that. I'm going to go with the speeder bike. Only because I absolutely loved it in Return of the Jedi. Even though it's fucking dangerous as hell, that shit is badass. It is so badass. I love it. I like the design of it. I like the way it looks. I like the scout trooper, that the look of the scout trooper that wrote it. I mean, you could see right here, I got a little, I guess, little miniature. I don't know if you could see it.
See right it. Here. Oh, I thought you were talking about your penis. Sorry.
No. That was going, Doc, you prick. I will call you Mini-Me. So, anyhow, I'm going to pick the speeder bike. I like the Land Cruiser, don't get me wrong.
Oh, the Cruiser, that's a different vehicle.
Oh, I'm sorry, the Land Speeder. My bad. I'll take a cruise in a Land Speeder. I'll get some roadhead in the Land Speeder. That'd be nice. But, you know, compared to the speeder bike, I'd rather go with the speeder bike. I think it's more... and I'm not even one of these guys who like sports car. I'm an SUV guy or truck guy. You know what I'm saying? But, eh.
Yeah, bro. I got you.
You know what I mean? Eh. So that's my pick on who's more over. Ladies and gentlemen, please send us your picks on our future segments of who's more over. The email address is newforceorder@yahoo.com. Now, should
pretty
we
easy
pick-
to remember. It's pretty yeah. easy to remember, guys.
Should we pick next week's New Force Order right now?
I mean, next week, who's more over right now?
That's what I said.
Yes. I got okay. one. Oh, you got one? Hold on. I'm thinking of one right now as well. Hold on. Let me hear yours and I'll tell you mine.
Razor Crest.
Show me yours. I'll show you mine.
Razor Crest versus the Ghost.
We did Razor Crest versus Slave One before. But we have not done versus the Ghost. We could do Razor Crest versus the Ghost. I'm down with that.
Okay. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Next week's show and Who's More Over segment will be the Razor Crest versus the Ghost. Send us your emails, newforceorder@yahoo.com. And if you're one of these people who've been following us since day one, like Silver Surfer 78, and
like Iron Patriot.
You mean the 88th homeboy?
Oh, I didn't say that. You did.
Busted, son! Like Silver Surfer 78, Blair, you know, he emailed us this week, but the first time he emailed us was last week. He's been with us since day one. Don't feel embarrassed about emailing us. Please, if you like the show, you like the witty banter, you like all the 90s references and 80s references and the fucking mom jokes and the dick jokes and the fart jokes and the Star Wars talk that we eventually get to, incorporate yourself into the show and let's mingle and let's talk. Just send us a goddamn email. There's no such thing as a bad email. There's no such thing as a stupid question. Don't feel like, oh, I feel sad. Don't be embarrassed. This is your show.
Before I joined the show, I used to email every week for those 7 weeks. Guys, email. What's better than people like Papa Don and I, who have a higher intellect, a higher IQ, and a higher roasting IQ, roasting you when you send the email? I mean, that's an honor, for Christ's sake. People pay Papa Don to do that.
Exactly. I get paid, son. Anyway, so Doc. Do you have any more news you want to touch on?
There was one other thing I think.
Besides $50 macaroons?
$50 macaroons, dude. Ridiculous. We briefly touched upon that Gina Carano thing. But she also tweeted a very provocative photo of herself.
Again?
You know, a couple weeks ago where she had whipped out the little Gina Carano's. The little car. The car of dunes, as they say.
well played.
And I thought that was pretty funny. There was one other news thing that popped up that's kind of a throwback to an interesting, funny little ditty in the Star Wars universe that, again, proves that Favreau and Filoni get it. They get us. They understand us. The portion of The Mandalorian where the Mithril was walking along the reactor core to turn it off was very reminiscent of another scene in Star Wars where Obi-Wan Kenobi in A New Hope was walking on that platform to turn the Death Star shield generator off as well. Very similar look and design to that machine there. But the one thing that it definitely had in common was that there were no guardrails on either of those platforms there.
And apparently, which I've never noticed, if you look through the Star Wars universe, there's no guardrails anywhere in the Star Wars universe. If you look at places like Bespin, places like the Death Star, places like other locations that they've went where they've been very mechanical, there are no guardrails anywhere. So apparently there is no OSHA regulations in the Star Wars universe. There is no concern for employee safety. And I think that's a kind of a known thing that's kind of popping around the Star Wars universe for years and years and years. And I think Filoni and Favreau pointed directly at it when they had the Mithril be like, there's not even a guardrail out there. You want me to walk out there? Which I pop for as well. So good on them again, proving that they get it, that they understand. Please give me more of this and I will eat it up like nobody's business.
Eat it up like a playmate, huh?
All day. I know, Pop, I know you're a big Kotobukiya fan.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I know you're a large Kotobukiya fan, which is the Japanese company that makes the inarticulate statues that are out there that are really fantastic. I have a few of them as well, mostly the DC Superpowers ones that are that they've released. But they're releasing a Boba Fett.
Boba Fett? Where?
Statue in his vintage Kenner colors, which is that kind of muted purple with the reds and the yellows. That's based off of their other statue that they had done of Boba Fett. So that's going to be out there. And apparently somewhere rolling around the universe may be a Ewok that is a Jedi. One of our favorite websites, Screen Rant, talks about furry little Ewok who is potentially a Jedi that had trained. One of these stories with Lando and Han Solo had liberated its fellow Ewoks from enslavement of a group of aliens, the Sansanians, wielding a blue lightsaber and even wearing Jedi robes. Again, but he was a kind of a complete mystery and maybe in the non-canonical Legends banner. But would you enjoy seeing an Ewok that's a Jedi?
Absolutely.
I think it would be interesting for a little bit here and there.
Listen, I think any species in the Star Wars lore, if they could become a Jedi, I think it's pretty cool. Like with this new Star Wars High Republic, seeing a Wookiee Jedi, I think, was badass. Something that's long overdue. We've seen a Wookiee bounty hunter. We talked about it last show. Now, if they have an Ewok, why not? You know, we've only seen one Mandalorian Jedi, and that's Tar Vizsla, you know, with the Darksaber. So I think it's high time to see a little Yub Nub with a little fucking sword.
Ewok lives matter, baby.
That's right. Maybe Chief Chirpa has a relative, you know, that was a fucking Jedi. Who knows?
Hi, Chief Chirpa.
Hi, Chief Chirpa. Hi, like giraffe pussy. Hi.
And we would be remiss if we didn't miss, by the way, this giraffe pussy.
Okay. that's a late pop, but we would miss if we didn't miss this. That rhymed. That was very well. You're spitting bars right now.
It's been all over the internet and I'm just kind of a little saturated and a little annoying and the joke's kind of already like whatever. But during this past week episode of The Mandalorian, one of the crew accidentally got into the shot. Well, not the whole crew, but half of one of the crew. So we see an arm with a t-shirt and a pair of jeans standing in the background of the portion where Mando and the crew are walking through the facility. You can see him towards the left. And the internet went ablaze with this guy. And apparently there's a Wikipedia page of him now where he's canon now into there. They called him, I can't remember what they called him, but some fucking stupid name. Someone made a mock-up action figure of this half of a figure standing behind the thing. I mean, literally the next day after the episode popped up, Instagram blew up with this, and it was funny the first two times, and then I think I've seen it 48 times since then, so it's gotten a little less funny.
So it's not over with you.
It's not over with me. And speaking!
What's more over, that or the Starbucks coffee cup in Game of Thrones?
That was actually a pretty funny one, which I did not notice when it happened, but when those things kind of sneak into there, it could be for a little comedy, except if you beat it to fucking death. Which this was beaten to death.
And speaking of beating, no, I'm kidding. So
I have the high ground, Papa Don.
you underestimate my power. So Doc, let them know where they can find you at.
You can find me at Dr. Dr. _Destroyo, DestroyO on Instagram, Alex Arroyo Facebook, Alex Arroyo on Twitter. And do me a favor, guys, if you friend me on Facebook, please send me a message before you do. Because a lot of creepers out there, I don't know who they are. Just tell me, hey, just following you from the NFO doc. Perfect. Done. Over. Appreciate it. And speaking of over.
Listen, there's no more over than this fourth Sith ghost in the room. So, Spiro, where can they find you at? Let them know where they can get their delicacy of evilness at.
You can find me on Instagram, Spiro_A. You can find me Darth_Spiridon. You can find me on Rational.Rage. Rational Rage is my podcast weekly. Well, I shouldn't say weekly because it comes out whenever I feel like farting it out. Check it out. That's it.
You can find me at Greek God Papadon on Twitter and Instagram. Demetrius Papadon on Facebook. YouTube channel, Greek God Papadon. Please subscribe, like, comment, hit the notification bell. ProWrestlingTee.com/Greek God Papadon, which is the Pro Wrestling Tee store where I sell my Greek God Papadon t-shirts.
Big sale this week.
That's right. I was just about to take a stole my thunder, but big sale this week. I think 20% off on all t-shirts. You can find the three of us together at NFO_podcast on Twitter, New Force Order on Instagram, Official New Force Order on Facebook, and the email address yet again is newforceorder@yahoo.com. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your time this week. Thank you for your ears, your eyes. Hopefully we put a smile on that face. We made you laugh. Maybe spit out some blue milk while you were listening to this and you were laughing so hard because
about Brandon Miller's mother's bum.
Yeah, because we are the most entertaining Star Wars podcast on the planet today, in the universe today, in the galaxy today. Because again, we're here to get Star Wars more over with you and not get ourselves over on Star Wars. So thank you. This has been another exciting edition of the new Force Order.
For life. And that's just a two. It is just a two sweet.
Henceforth, execute order NFO.
It's a trap. It's too late to go back. We took a shuttle to the forest moon of Endor and made our way to the shield generator. Well, up above, the rebel fleet is waiting for a chance to end this war. We thought we had the upper hand. We thought we had a foolproof plan. With weapons of that magnitude, what are we walking into? It's a trap. It's too late to go back. It's a trap, but we're never looking back. You're gonna be sorry that you messed with this Mon Calamari. Believe me, somebody's gonna pay. It's a trap. It's a trap. And it's too late to go back. Stand a chance taking on the Death Star. So tell the fleet to attack the Star Destroyers. Luke and Vader have a battle in the throne room. It's entertainment for the Emperor. Leia and Han are captured and C-3PO had a secret plan. The Ewoks are gonna save the day, 'cause they ain't scared of anything. It's a trap, it's a trap. It's too late. It's a trap, it's a trap, and it's too late to go back.
Are you interested in joining our elite roster of sponsors? From now through the end of the year, Hameen Media Group is offering special rates as we continue our exponential growth, as we expect to hit 3 million downloads in the first half of 2021, giving you the absolute best value for you to advertise your company, brand, product, service, or podcast. We encourage you to reach out at HameenMediaGroup@gmail.com and ask us how we can give the Hameen Media bump to you.